It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
From the Fox News Podcast Network, I'm Dana Perino, and everything will be okay. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Everything Will Be Okay. This week I'm joined by an exceptional father and one of my remarkable co-hosts of The Five, who also happens to hold the secret to saving the world. Jesse Watters is host of Jesse Watters Prime Time. A political commentator, a New York Times best-selling author. Essentially, he's a man of many titles, but one title I know he's proud to have is father. While he may have shared more than a little about his life in his book, I'm thrilled to have him join me today to talk about himself, his show, and his experiences, and also what he loves most about being a dad and how he approaches that. He also talks about the most important quality he learned as he came up through the ranks and started Primetime. Jesse Watters, I have no plan for this.
Me neither.
Oh, okay, good. So that's going to be fun. First of all, the last time we did a podcast, I think it might have been your first podcast.
I think it may have been.
It was for your. It was when your book came out, How I Saved the World, which is excellent.
Thank you.
And you said, I love podcasts. But since, yes. There's been a lot of change in your life.
Has there?
Yeah, well, your son had just been born.
Okay.
And then you came Primetime.
I did. It's been a wild year.
So what's it been like as you look back? What's it been, 6 months or so?
I think we launched Primetime at the end of January.
Okay.
And then I had back surgery in May. So that kind of was a little bit of a bump in the road.
Yeah, that was so upsetting for me.
Aww, you're so sweet.
But for everyone, but it was just kind of shocking to have somebody that you see every day and you enjoy seeing every day and you become like family when you work here at Fox. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, he's out? What do you mean he's out? He's like, he's back. I was like, oh, okay, he'll be back tomorrow. And it just kept, I guess it was probably kind of humbling.
Oh, it was humbling.
Yeah.
You realize that health is the number one thing in your life. And you realize without good health, you can't even help your wife. You can't pick up your son. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything. So I had to rebuild my body.
Wow.
And now I'm in physical therapy. I like my physical therapist. He tortured me today. This brilliant, short little Asian guy. And he contorts my body like an acrobat as I scream. And he says it's good pain. Mm-hmm. And I love him. And we're going to do that for the next 6 weeks. And then I'm going to be fully healthy and I can golf.
Oh, okay. So that's the goal.
Well, he said I could bungee jump, actually, my surgeon.
He's joking?
No. He said once you're healed, you can bungee jump, you can ski, you can do anything you want.
Okay. So, okay. Well, we'll check back in.
Yeah, we'll do a podcast when I bungee jump.
When you see. So the other day you said that when you started Primetime, before you did, that you called a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you asked some advice. And one of the best pieces of advice you had, or that many people said, make sure you listen. That's a good principle of everything will be okay. What were some of the other pieces of advice you got that might be worth passing on to folks listening to this?
Well, Britt Hume was the one that I recall who told me to listen, because he says when you're hosting, a lot of the hosts use that time during the interview to say what their opinion is. Mm-hmm. And instead of asking sharp questions to elicit smart responses from the guest, you just blabber, and then the guest blabbers, and you don't really get anywhere. So he told me to listen, and then he also told me not to sleep with my secretary.
Oh, that's a good advice.
He told me a few pitfalls. That was the main pitfall. And I remember I read the James Patterson autobiography, and he said the key to his success was listening. Hmm. And Tucker told me to take a steam. That was his advice.
Like a steam? Like a shower?
Like a schwitz, Dana.
Oh,
like a sauna.
Yeah. Okay.
He said your mental health is really important when you're in this job.
Yeah.
And if you have a choice between preparing for the show or getting your mental health in line, you really got to get your mental health in line, whether that's taking a steam, whether that's exercising or hunting or doing whatever you can to kind of take your mind off the show or just take your mind off the chaos. He said you just want to clear your mind and have a really simplistic view of your show. Just focus on the show. Don't look at television. He says don't look at social media. And just hang out with your family, go outside, and that was good advice.
So when I first started doing anchoring and doing a daily briefing show, Sean Hannity gave me a piece of advice that he got from Roger Ailes.
What?
And excuse my language, we could beep it or I can like try to like not say the word. But so Hannity, when he first started, you'll call, like, he wasn't an experienced anchor on television, and he had done radio for a while, and he was nervous about his first show. So Roger said, well, why don't you come on in and we'll practice a little bit. So pretend I'm the guest and hit me with some questions. And he said that he was winding up to ask the question. And he was what Britt was saying, basically like giving his opinion or leading the witness, basically.
Right.
And that Roger said, Sean, just ask the question. And I've always remembered that, because sometimes I feel myself doing that, because I have opinions. I have a lot of things I want to say, and I've experienced when I'm just like, how could they possibly say this? And I am trying to get someone to say what I would say. And every time I start to do that, I remember what Sean said, and it's like a sharp stick in the back. Like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah, Sean gave me also good advice about investing.
Oh, he's a good one to ask.
Sean said, just don't get fired. He said, just keep staying in the game as long as you possibly can. Keep signing contracts and pay attention to what gets people fired, and don't do that.
Don't do that.
And that was good advice. O'Reilly told me the question thing. And he had told me that before I called him, before I went on primetime, when I used to go out into the field and confront people, or even just do those MOSs on the streets with weirdos. He said, make your questions just to the point and sharp and quick.
Yeah.
So 5 seconds. Why'd you do that? How do you feel about that? But that's not the case. Why would you say that? Just like that. And that basically puts the interviewee on their toes a little bit and really makes them think quickly. And sometimes that's when you get the awkward pauses or the stammering, because when you're giving this 30-second wind-up question, it gives the interviewee time to prepare.
I think it's one of the reasons I like watching your show is that I don't know what the next question is going to be. Well, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm reading your eyes. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he's thinking. But I think that's one of the great things. And it's wonderful to see how successful it is. Something we talk about on this podcast a lot is just about how to be a good manager, or how to be a good employee to help your manager, or how you're going to get ahead. And since your team is on the same floor where my office is, I observe them a lot back and forth all day long. And they are a happy crew. So what's that about?
Well, they're all 25.
That's true.
And they don't know any better. So they're like a puppy dog. I read a book. It's about How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, it's a good book.
I read a bunch of those Dale Carnegie books. I read several. And I was doing a lot of self-help reading before I launched Primetime. And one of the things they talk about is management and how to be a team leader. And so when I first joined the show at 7, I just started buying the staff things. I started buying them lunch every day. I bought them all those Roback shirts. And I thought that would be a good way to build camaraderie and show that I was grateful for all of their work. And I still need to work on that. They haven't fed them in a couple months. I need to
get
back to
buying
things.
But you do fun things like there's a list right now. And I don't know why you have this list of everyone's favorite song of the summer.
I didn't initiate that.
Okay.
And I think my executive producer, Brian Tully, is pretty good at team building exercises. Yep. And I believe they do drinks, which is something we used to do, or I used to do when I was back on the factory. You do staff drinks.
Well,
I mean, they do that much
anymore. You were on the factory for a long time, and those friendships were really forged in fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel about my people at the White House. Like all those days and nights, even the weekends, right? We all worked so hard, and it's a small team.
It's like SEAL team training.
Yes.
Right?
Kind of.
When you go and you suffer together and you go through something that crazy together, that you really form good bonds. And I know you guys get together once a year or something like that. Don't you guys have these little Bush summits?
Yeah. And there's regional ones and things like that. I actually even beyond getting together, I actually still talk to a lot of them every day.
So do I.
So I have, like, there's different little text threads. And there's my econ people that I can go to and, like, what does this mean? The Fed and the 75 basis points. Help me. What does this mean? Then there's another group. And we just talk about whatever. They're really into the whole Saudi Arabia Gulf thing right now. And I don't really have an opinion. I just am watching, you know, watching and observing. And then you realize that you look back that you might not necessarily remember anything work-related that happened, but you all grow up together.
You did.
And then you get married, you have children. And I did want to ask you about that. I admire you for many reasons. Your wit, of course.
Oh, stop.
Your intelligence.
Laying it on thick.
But when I read the book, I was like, this is so smart. I hope people read this. Because it's interesting and funny. And then it's like, wow, that is like super smart. The way that you lay out the arguments and from your perspective, that's all, and it's all based in fact, and it's terrific. But I really admire you as a dad, and especially raising two girls who are now 10. Twins. And I appreciate how you recognize that they each are individuals, even though they're twins. I don't think that's always easy for people.
Well, one of them is very into athletics, mm-hmm. and she's been like that for a very long time. So we bonded early playing catch or doing lacrosse or baseball or soccer, whatever. If there's a ball involved, Eliana loves it. Sophie and I didn't have that bond initially because she wasn't into sports as much. So I had to find different ways for Sophie and I to bond. And so I would make it a point, because when you're a father of twins, a lot of times you do things with the twins together. So there's not a lot of one-on-one time. Right. So I'd make an effort to take Sophie to an amusement park together, or we'd do things like that together, walk the dog together, maybe go shopping together.
Play dolls?
No. Well, she does like to color. And I got to tell you, Dana.
She's good.
If you probably haven't done this since you were a little baby, but I found myself a couple weekends ago just taking a blank piece of paper with some crayons and just sitting in silence with Sophie and just coloring.
Nice.
And it's really relaxing. It's very off brand for me to admit that, but I enjoyed it. It's not like a Hunter Biden thing. I actually enjoyed it.
Well, but you could maybe sell them. As Sean said, keep signing contracts.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we did that sketch of Paul Pelosi who, you know, we couldn't get the mugshot for 2 weeks. So we had one of the producers put together a sketch of what the mugshot would look like. And we'd put it on air for 2 weeks until we got the mugshot. And they want me to auction off the fake mugshot now. So we might be doing that on prime time. And
that's,
if you want to bid,
for charity,
we're going to donate it to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, because they have not said anything about arrest yet.
So how did your experience doing the on the road work for O'Reilly inform how you put together your show today, or how you assign things, the story choice that you're looking for?
Oh, God, that's such a deep question.
Sorry.
Dana. I learned everything from The Factor as a producer, not just being on the field, but I used to book cars for Kellyanne Conway.
Wow.
And I used to pre-interview Charles Krauthammer.
It makes such a difference, because then you know everything. That's like, I used to get coffee for the congressman. And then, you know, you work your way up. You do, if you do all of it. I used to give Capitol tours. Appropriate ones.
You're not going to be brought in to testify?
Nope.
Okay,
nope,
good.
Nope. I used to make up things about, you know, the paintings and things like that.
So my eye is always on the screen, because video is so important, because it's a visual medium.
It's
so
really something I had to learn to appreciate, because I didn't as much. For me, it was the words.
Right.
It's not as important.
Right.
It's important, but
it's very important, but there's a lot of key important things that you got to mix together.
Because oftentimes I come in and when I get home, it's usually like 6:45 or so. Got to take the makeup off, everything. And when I come in, the TV is on, but it's on mute. So when I first see your show, it's actually the way Roger Ailes used to watch TV, as I understand it, which was with no sound.
Right. And he would be able to judge how talented a host was by watching the host with the mute button on. And I'm very obsessed with the banners, for those of you who don't know, the lower thirds, you know, you read the screens, because that's what your eyes do the first thing you change the channel. What is the lower third read on the screen? So I hate when the producers make it a two-liner. I like it a big, bold one-liner, like a New York Post headline. I just think it's easier to see. And I like it to be as provocative as possible, like a New York Post headline. So we're basically just trying to keep the show fast-paced. And not try to do what every other show is doing, which is tough. And you know how tough that is because there's a limited amount of news.
It's interesting.
Each day.
Like, so when I did the 2 o'clock show, it did feel tough. It was certainly tough. Being at 9 to 11 a.m., it's a little bit easier.
You have a great opportunity at 9 to 11 because you get, as they say, the first bite of the apple.
We do.
Is that a phrase people say?
That's a good phrase.
Right. It is.
More to come right after this.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So, hey, we asked our fans, our people that follow me, I don't know if they're fans, some questions. There's some good ones here. We could do a lightning round.
Do it.
We got some time. All right. This is a good one. What does your mom think about how the Biden administration is handling all of these crises? Gas prices, border, baby formula, crime, etc.
She does not defend the Biden administration. And that, I think that's telling.
Yep.
But what she does do is attack me. And, you know, this January 6th stuff, you know, I remember watching January 6th happen in real time from my apartment. We were still in vans because of COVID, and we were off
that day. I anchored
it
live at 2 o'clock.
You're crazy. I mean, I don't know how you did that, but we were supposed to go on at 5. They ended up bumping us for special report live. Mm-hmm. So I watched, and I remember texting my mom how terrible it was because I hated watching it. I knew how bad it was, and I didn't like what I saw, and I knew how it was going to be exploited. And then when I get on television a year and a half later, while the country's falling apart, energy, crime, and I try to say this should not be a priority right now. And my mom, it drives her crazy.
That's great.
And she thinks I'm downplaying January 6th. So she does not do a lot of defending, as I said, but she does a lot of attacking.
It seems to me that there's most Democrats and even the media now, nobody's defending Joe Biden. I just read a piece today by Mark Leibovich in the Atlantic, and the headline is Biden should not run again in 2024.
Right.
And now they're making all these the reasons why, like, you did your duty, you did what we needed you to do, but now you have to go.
Right. He was the Trump killer.
Yeah.
And now he's useless. You can defend in the 40s. You can't defend in the
30s. No, you can't. And it could get worse.
It will.
And it likely will. All right. What was your favorite man on the street interview you ever did? Or what was your favorite story assignment? I got to get the book. See some of this.
Well, Hawaii, that was such a junket. Bill sent me to Hawaii to find out Obama's roots. And so I went and talked to some of his private school classmates and walked around his old stomping grounds. And that was just beautiful. It's the most beautiful state I've ever been to. Also, Big Sur in California was one of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever observed.
Did you watch Big Little Lies?
No.
It's a series. You and Emma would like it.
Yeah.
But it's based there.
Yeah.
So the scenery is unbelievable.
As I learned, I was supposed to pitch great places to travel as story ideas. And it took me a while to figure that out. For a while, I was being sent to Vermont in the winter and then Texas in the summer. And then I figured out what to do and what not to do. And then it became much easier.
It's like Mark Meredith. He has the best assignments. Every time he pops up on the screen, I'm like, oh, now he's in Charleston. Of course he is. Like, how does he get these great things?
Yeah.
When Jesse asked to hold his hand, who blushes the most?
Well, I did a fake hold my hand. Remember the other day I said, Dana, I got to tell you my problem with women. Hold my hand. That was a pump fake. But it's worked well. And, you know, you don't often squeeze it, Dana. You let me go.
No, I'm ready. The other day, Greg looked at me like, I wouldn't if I were you. If you were on death row, what would be your last meal?
Probably surf and turf and ice cream. Okay.
I don't understand the mixing of the surf and the turf. I think that's actually, that just sounds not good.
That's because you're from Colorado or Wyoming, wherever you're from.
Yeah. I mean, don't mix the turf with the surf.
You don't eat a lot of seafood, probably.
I don't. I actually don't like, I wish I did. I don't like it.
And you don't swim in the ocean that much.
I respect what's under there. Do you get in? It's so cold.
Do I get in? Of course
you
I
do?
Get in the ocean.
All and swim?
Yes, I swim. Wow. I surf. I don't actually surf. I body surf.
Does your physical therapist say you can do that?
He said I can wade in and submerge. He doesn't want me thrashing around.
Did you have a childhood nickname?
Dirty Waters.
Oh, God.
Well, that was a football nickname. Wrong Way Waters also is a football nickname.
This person says, happy early Father's Day to you, Jesse. I know you're an awesome dad. What is the biggest joy about fatherhood and the biggest challenge?
The challenge... logistics. I'm divorced, so there's a lot of transportation involved. Mm-hmm. So that is not traffic. Always easy. And traffic, you know how I feel about traffic. I hate traffic more than you. And probably the joy of it is watching them do new things, like their first roller coaster, Jesse Jr.'s first bite of chocolate.
Oh, what was that like?
Ellie's first golf lesson. What do you think?
I can't imagine.
Ecstasy.
Was he like, give me more of that?
Yeah, and then they get addicted, and then they get a sugar high, and then they crash around.
Is he just growing like crazy?
Yeah, I mean, last week to this week, he really started to listen to what I said.
Oh.
And that was a big milestone, because for a while, especially as a guy, but as a father, without the verbal communication, it's really hard to relate a lot of the times with a baby as a guy.
Oh, interesting.
So, but once they start talking and listening, then it's like, oh, we're good.
Yeah.
You can hear what I'm saying.
He's super cute.
Yeah.
When will Jesse Jr. make another appearance on The Five?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, due to popular demand, we might have to bring him one of
these
days.
Yeah, we'll have to do something like that. If you could have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be?
Dead or alive? Well, the Trump dinner was pretty fun. I had a few
story.
Dinners with Trump, and he's just the master of ceremonies, you know, and you just listen and you laugh, and he makes you feel really comfortable. I mean, I'm sure W was the same way.
Yeah.
And those people with big personalities, they're just great dinner companions.
Yeah. And the stories.
Oh, the stories. And they go on forever. I mean, they just have stories.
One of my favorite memories was we were on the trip. Like, it was weird. We went from D.C. to Iraq to Australia, and then stopped in Hawaii for fuel in the back. So we did around the world. And at one point, from like Diego Garcia, is that what it's called in the middle of the, refuel. The doctor, Dr. Tubb, said to everybody, I recommend not sleeping on this leg to Australia, so that when you get there, your time clock would be more likely to want to sleep at that point. So 43 put on his sweats, you know, he comes into the conference room and Condi was there, and he said, Condi, why don't you give us a lecture on Middle East peace? But he was kind of joking, but then they talked for about an hour and a half. And we just sat and listened. I was like, I learned so much.
Because you're listening. Isn't that the key to life?
It's so key. It's one of actually the problems that I think that Corinne Jean-Pierre has at the White House. She doesn't have the experience that Jen Psaki had at the State Department. And also, Jen Psaki might have known Biden a little bit when he was vice president, maybe a little bit. I don't know. But she knew Obama very well. Okay, so you have that interaction with somebody. Then their election, or their campaign, as we know, Biden was isolated.
Right.
He was in his basement. And so she wasn't really considered to be somebody that was a close Biden confidant. You know, Simone Sanders was the likely person to get that job. So she comes on board and she's able to jump in and she's doing things. But the White House is so COVID crazy with the rules.
Yeah.
I don't think that they have any real interaction with him. They're not sitting down listening to an hour and a half of Middle East peace talk. They're not just around observing him, like how he talks about random news of the day. And if you don't have that kind of personal connection, you can't speak on someone's behalf. And I think that the COVID stuff for them is one of the problems.
Well, everybody has gotten COVID now that Fauci has gotten COVID. So Biden is the last person in the United States to
get COVID.
Gotten COVID. He's got to get it soon. Just get it over with.
Do you think maybe he had it, though?
If he had it and they didn't tell us, that's a huge scandal.
That would be huge.
Huge
maybe you could
scandal.
FOIA that.
I'm one for one on FOIAs. I'm hot, Dana.
I think it's pretty good. A couple more questions here. If DeSantis ran for president, who do you think would be the best VP?
I love DeSantis.
He's so competent.
He's so competent, got
right?
a great record, not afraid of the media.
Not afraid.
And, you know, doesn't have the problems that Trump has with flamboyance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I love the Trump flamboyance. Don't get me wrong. It's highly entertaining, but it'll also get him in trouble. But if he runs and Trump doesn't run, then I think it's his nomination. And would he try to balance the ticket? I think you go with someone young. Like,
how
old is he? He doesn't seem that old to me.
He's in his 50s, I think.
He's in his 50s. He's got military experience. Maybe he doesn't have foreign policy experience. Do you do a woman? Do you do a Latino? I don't know.
I think that you go with somebody that you can trust and that you think is going to do a great job.
Right. Don't overthink it with identity politics.
Exactly.
See how I just went down the identity politics lane right there? Because that's what they do.
DeSantis is only 43 years old?
I'm 43.
Are you joking?
No.
Wow, I feel so old.
Wow. I mean, I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast.
I mean, he's young enough to be a podcast listener. Well, hello, Governor, if you are listening. Okay,
hey, Ron.
A couple more questions. Who would do better in jail for the night, you or Greg?
Oh, me, for sure. I mean, Greg would get, I can't say it on the podcast, but he wouldn't do well.
He couldn't hang.
He has massive anxiety. He might have to be taken to the medical unit. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't do much. I'd have to protect him, and then I'd charge a protection fee.
Yes, you'd be calm. You'd be calm. You're like, all right. I'll deal with this in the morning.
That'd be cool.
You'd be cool.
I just wouldn't eat anything.
Somebody's asked, are you more shy in your private life?
More shy? You know, I think it might surprise people. Maybe it wouldn't. I'm not, you know, necessarily the life of the party when I go places. I'm just kind of in the middle. Why are you rolling your eyes?
I'm not rolling my eyes. I'm thinking back to places I've been, and I don't know.
I'm not someone that demands a lot of attention. I just kind of go with the flow.
Well, you don't demand it. It just happens.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to be one of those guys having dinner parties and charming all of us.
So we have a party coming up. We have Janine's party at her house, and it's the entire five staff, all the producers. I'm bringing Jesse Jr. I'm bringing Emma.
But you're not bringing Rookie?
Should I?
All dogs are invited. Percy's coming.
I'm bringing Rookie.
Okay.
I'm bringing Rookie and the baby and Emma. And you can see if I'm shy or not.
I'm pretty sure you're not shy. So you've got 6 months on your belt with the show. And is there a guest that you would love to have on?
Well,
or a couple, who's on your list?
I'd like to have Hulk Hogan, Mike Tyson, just some random people like that.
I want Simone Biles. That's my top choice.
It's Simone. Mm-hmm. You can have her.
Okay, I'll take it.
No offense, Simone. But yeah, I'd like maybe some rock stars from the 80s and 90s that I grew up admiring. Not for any news value.
Yeah.
But just to be able to be like, yeah.
Oh, hey. Riley used to do that, right? He would have just human interest stories.
He would. He'd have Clint Eastwood on.
Right.
He had Ross from Friends on because he was promoting something with the children. So we had some wacky guys on. Oliver Stone.
Dolly Parton.
Bono.
I remember when Bono came.
P. Diddy.
I don't remember when P. Diddy came.
Yeah, we had some crazy people.
Well, you have an incredible show. It's a lot of fun. You could have a podcast, too, if you want.
They're signaling, come on over to the podcast. All right, when my back heals, we'll reconsider it.
You could do it standing up.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Dana.
Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review. I'm Dana Perino. Everything will be okay.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to Fox News Podcast shows ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or follow wherever you get your podcasts.